Good morning, everybody. Glad you could be here. It's a little bit warmer than last week. And if you keep praying, it'll be even warmer next week. The school have got the heating on nice and early, which is all around the room. But apparently they have a couple of like super heaters, which we're trying to track down. They seem a little bit reluctant to release, but keep praying and we'll get there. And we'll have a warmer Sunday morning experience. So huddle for warmth. Just before I speak, we've got another little video. Going to be talking about the Bible again. This will just have some relevance later in my talk, but as you're kind of transitioning from the beginning of the meeting to the next, have a little look at this. Over to you, Phil. Great. I don't know whether you reckon. Who can tell me what parable was that? Thank you, NK. Thank you, Sabrina. Shouting from the back. Jesus actually called that the most important parable. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. To me, whenever I read that, it always speaks something new. We'll be coming back to that in a minute. But I wanted this morning to carry on this theme of the devotions of the early church. Who here has got a physical Bible, a real Bible? Maureen's got one there. Alan's got one. I saw you, Alan. Amazing. That people still read these paper Bibles. But when this book is given to the Queen at her coronation, these are the words that they use. The people that present this to her, they say this: "We present you with this book, the most valuable thing this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God." And it's true. They're giving to the Queen the Bible, and they're saying this physical thing is the most valuable thing this world affords. And I truly believe it is. You tell me anything that you can think of, and I will tell you that the Bible is more valuable. The Bible has transformed nations. The Bible has transformed cultures. The Bible has transformed legal systems. The Bible has transformed the morals of nations. The Bible has transformed millions of lives, including my own. It's more valuable than all those things. Now, in the devotions of the early church, at the beginning of this year, we're looking at these things, the devotions of the early church. What were the early church devoted to? Acts 2:42 says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And we're going to take time at the beginning of this year to look at each of these things, because it's what they were devoted to. Are you devoted to anything in your life? Jesus, maybe. Maybe something apart from Jesus. Maybe to your family. And it involves, devotion is a very strong word, isn't it? But this is what the Bible says: that early church, the Pentecostal church, the 3,000 that were converted on the day of Pentecost, these were the things they were devoted to. The apostles' teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We're looking at this one thing. We looked at it last week. We're going to look at another aspect of it again. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What was this apostles' teaching? 40 or 50 days previously, Jesus had been walking with some of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Do you remember they were walking with him, this man? They didn't recognize who he was, and then suddenly their eyes were opened. But while they were walking along that road, it says in verse 26, did not the Messiah, this is what Jesus said, did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and to enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So Jesus explained that right back in Genesis, from Moses, through all the prophets and the Psalms and the scriptures, they were all pointing towards this moment in time when he himself, Jesus, would come. He would be born in a stable. There would be a virgin birth. He would live a perfect life, offering us an incredible example of how we should live. He would die on a cross and pay for the sins of the whole world. He would be raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He would ascend to heaven and sit at the right hand of the Father. And there would be a promise that he would come again to rule upon this earth. And when that message was given and received by the apostles, the book was closed. This was the message. It's called the scriptures. It's called the message. It's called the word of God. It's called the gospel. It's called many different things in the New Testament, but the message is essentially the same. And we even are part of that message, because there's the teaching that we are the body of Christ, that we are the continuation of his ministry upon this earth. And the Bible is the book that tells us all about it. You find all the way through the Old Testament. It tells you the story of how the Bible was created. There were the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were written on stone. And then Moses wrote another book following that with all the other laws and commandments and statutes. And then the prophets started to write about other things that God was saying. Some people started to write history. King David started to write the Psalms. Other people started writing the Psalms. More of the prophets wrote things. And this book gradually grew until in the New Testament times, in the time of the apostles, right up to the book of Revelation, that final book where it says that nothing should be added to this and nothing should be taken away from it. This book is shutting now. There is nothing new. If there is a new revelation that you are being taught, whether that's by a famous preacher or a wonderful book or an incredible website, but it doesn't line up with the Bible, don't believe it. Because there is, in one sense, nothing new under the sun. It's all in this book. And when a new thing happens in our life, it's a new revelation to us, but it's old truth because it's in the Bible. We learned last week that it's complete. Acts 20 verse 27 says, when Paul stands weeping on the beach with the elders at Ephesus, saying that after I've gone, wolves are going to come in, people are going to come up from your midst and arise, drawing men after themselves. But he said, through many tears over these years, I have told you the whole will of God. He spilt all the beans. In those 3 years, he told them everything they would need to know. And these things wonderfully are written for us in the Bible. We learned that it's a manual for life. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's here to instruct us, to teach us, to train us in life. It teaches us how to live our lives. It teaches us how to bring up our families. It teaches us how we behave at work. It teaches us how to reach others with the gospel. It teaches us how to do church. It's all in the book. It's there for our instruction, if we would choose to open it and read its pages, that we may be thoroughly equipped. If somebody comes to me with a new idea, I have often a question in my mind. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? If you find some of the teaching at New Life questionable, I don't mind. But if you say to me, I don't like what you said, Nick, or what Bob taught the other day, I'm not sure I agree with that, then I would say, let's open our Bibles together. In fact, it happened recently, actually. Somebody emailed me and they said, I'm not sure about this thing. So I said, why don't we have a cup of coffee sometime and open our Bibles and look at this together? Because I'm not trying to put over something that is new. I want to learn myself. I'm following what's written in this book, and I want to know more about what it says. As Wesley said, give me this book. Give me this book. Today I want to look at this question, how do we read the Bible? I don't know how we read the Bible, really. I'm still learning. There are so many different ways. There are as many different ways of reading the Bible as we are sitting here together, because we are so beautifully unique. And the thing, the way that I can reach God through the Bible is going to be a little bit different to you. In fact, it changes daily. I find sometimes if I do the same thing for a long time, I get bored. But God gives me other ways of doing things. And so this morning, maybe you can just pick up something of the spirit of what I'm saying and just be a little bit hungry to read your Bible more. As well as being a manual, the Bible is food. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, "It is written." He actually said this to the devil. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is written, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds, that comes out." So today, what are you living on today? Are you living on somebody else's idea, revelation, something you listen to on the radio? Or are you feeding yourself? Are you hearing from God yourself? I believe that God will speak to me every day. At the end of the day, I want to be able to say to somebody that talks to me, if they say, "What did God say to you today?" I'd like to say, "He said this." And I can honestly say that usually he does. Because I read my Bible expecting that God will speak to me personally through it. And as that word comes to me through the pages of the book, I find it gives me faith. I think it's Romans 10:10. It says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And that the translation of that word there, I think, is it's this proceeding, this spoken word, the word that Christ is speaking to me today. When God speaks to me through the pages of the Bible and I feel it's a personal thing, it gives me faith for that day. It builds me up. It's bread for my soul. John 14:26, Jesus said, "The helper." How wonderful that we have a helper. That God wants to help us. He is so much my helper. He helped me to be saved. He helped me into eternal life by shedding his blood on the cross. And he helps me through life by giving me the Holy Spirit. He helps me to read the Bible by giving me the Spirit to open my eyes and to illumine my way. The helper. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things I've said to you. So those disciples, for 3.5 years, they were walking with Jesus. They must have heard a lot of words, but the Holy Spirit reminded them of the words that they needed to write down in that book. And it was the same for the apostles as they wrote the other scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16, we looked at it before. All scripture is God-breathed. The point I want to make from these scriptures is the Holy Spirit wrote the book. Yes, it was Paul, it was Peter, it was Moses, it was David, it was Daniel. All these people used their pen, but God breathed by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit wrote the book. There was a man called Smith Wigglesworth. Some of you may have heard of him. An amazing Pentecostal evangelist, the beginning of the last century. He said this. He said he was a Bradford plumber. Okay, but a mighty man of God. He said, "Some people read the Bible in the Hebrew, others read it in the Greek, I read it in the Holy Ghost." By that he meant the Holy Spirit. He was using the King James Version. I read it in the Holy Spirit. Let's read our Bibles in the Holy Spirit. Let's ask him for the help. That parable we listened to earlier, a sower went out to sow. And that is the word of God. there was a seed, and that seed was scattered onto different types of ground. And that ground, that soil, is really our heart. It's our response to the word of God. Luke 8:11, Jesus explained the parable to the disciples. He said, now the parable is this, in verse 11 of Luke 8, the seed, he said, is the word of God. It's the gospel. It's this message of the kingdom. It's the scriptures. The seed is the word of God. What power there is in a seed. You could have a whole harvest from one seed planted. Just one seed. That's the power in the word of God. Jesus said, the seed is the word of God. There's a little tree here called, a picture of a tree here called Methuselah. It's now about 10 foot high. It's 10 years old. But the seed of this tree is somewhere in Israel. And the seed of this palm tree was 2,000 years old. They found that seed in an excavation in a place called Masada in Israel. And they know that the history of that seed dated it back 2,000 years. And some clever botanist decided to plant that seed. And there it is, 10 foot tall. And if they can find a female palm tree, I think this is a male one, then it will produce dates and more seed, and you could have a whole plantation of them. Such power in the seed. But you see, the power is the same, whatever the ground is like. The seed remains the same. Colossians 1:5-7 says this, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you understood the grace of God, this message of the gospel in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. Colossians 1:5-7. Who carried the first seed to Colossae? Tell me, who's the guy? Epaphras, just one man. He carried the seed of the gospel. He carried the word of God. He carried the news of this incredible kindness and provision of God in giving us Jesus and shedding his blood and buying forgiveness and giving us new life and giving us grace and access to God that we could pray and daily receive from him everything we need. That seed of the gospel was planted in their hearts by Epaphras. And it says in Colossians 1:5, this has come to you. And indeed in the whole world, it's bearing fruit and it is increasing. There are millions and millions of born again Christians all over the world today. And they came from one seed. It was Jesus, the seed that fell into the ground and died. And then on the day of Pentecost, a man called Peter stood up and he took that seed and he cast it into the ground. And 3,000 more seed rose up. And before long, the whole of the then known world was filled with the gospel. And there were many thousands of Christians across Europe. And it came to me in 1974. One man brought a seed and planted it in my heart, and the next day I was born again. And through me, I've been able to just share a little bit of the gospel with others, which has been my pleasure and the best thing in my life. This seed, it's so powerful, isn't it? There's so much power in the seed. But what's the ground like in our hearts? What's it like in my heart? What's it like in your heart today? So as I talk now, do a little self-inspection and just think, how much room has this seed got in my heart? Okay, three things to help us read the Bible. Number one, make time to read it. I don't know what you do with your time, but we need to make time to read the Bible, whether it's 5 minutes at the beginning of the day, whether it's an hour or 2 hours. I don't know, but we must make time to read it. There are various ways of doing it. Apparently, Leona's group, somebody was telling me that they're having a WhatsApp conversation about how to help each other read the Bible. There are so many different helps, aren't there? I picked one up. I don't know whether I've got it still. Put it in my pocket. No, it must be back in my seat. It's, sometimes we use these little... through the day booklets, but not many people use those today, do they? Most people use this thing. And how many people have got a Bible app on their phone? A lot of people. If you've got a phone and you haven't got a Bible app on it, I would recommend it. There are lots of good ones. The one I'm just mentioning here is one that Nikki Gumbel, who started the Alpha course, has done, called The Bible in 1 Year. And it helps you to read the whole Bible in 1 year. You might find that a bit ambitious. There's another one, the other end of the scale, which I have, and it's the YouVersion. Some people call it the Bible app. And I think tens of millions of people around the world use that. And I like the idea, actually, that as I read that verse in the morning, there are millions of other people reading the same verse. And it has spoken to me time and time again. That doesn't mean that it's particularly special. Some people might have daily light, and God speaks to them through that every day. Do you know, I actually don't think it matters that God is so miraculous and so extraordinary the way he works, that almost whatever way we choose to read the Bible, he will find a way of making that daily thing speak to you. That's my experience. I actually read a thing called McChain's 1 Year Bible Reading Plan. So you might think, oh, he's reading the Bible in 1 year. I could never do that. Actually, whoops, I gave up doing that a long time ago. I tried to do that. I probably succeeded somewhere along the line. But actually, I found that for me, I'd got a reasonable understanding of the whole of the Bible. I say only a reasonable understanding because it's endless, isn't it? But I found that I was trying to go too fast through the Bible to kind of keep up with my daily thing, that it wasn't touching my heart. The thing I want to share with you this morning is we must let the Bible touch our hearts. So I go through it much slower these days. And sometimes it'll take me a few days to get through one chapter of the Bible. And maybe I'll skip around and keep on going with the rest of them. But if there's one bit that's captivating my heart, I'll dwell on it and I'll let it feed me. Because it's not just that we need the knowledge and the understanding, we must have our souls fed by God. And there's an app for this one as well. I think in that YouVersion Bible app, you can even use McChain's 1 Year Reading Plan. Second thing I want to say, so make time for it. Number two, read it prayerfully. This is really important. You know, as we worship this morning, we see those songs. What brings God into the meeting? What brings God into our hearts? It's my connection and your connection with the words, isn't it? For you to read the Bible but not connect with God, it's not going to do you that much good. So we must read it prayerfully. We must read it with him. Jeremiah 15:60, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. Usually at the beginning of the day, I feel pretty empty. Do you ever feel like that? Pretty empty. I'm hungry. I know that if I don't get to pray and to read my Bible, I'm going to go through that day pretty empty. So I'm a little bit starving. But I've learned, because I have faith in this process, that if I open the Bible and I start to pray my way through those verses, I will connect with God. and he will bring joy and peace to my heart. Didn't you love Ruth's prayer this morning as she was standing here? Lord, today give us joy and peace. It comes through the connection with God. Psalm 19 verse 10, it says, David said, your words are more to be desired, are they, than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. And that's been my experience and the experience of thousands, tens of thousands of people. I thought I just would share with you what I read this morning. So in my Machain reading, early this morning, I got up and the first thing I knew I had to do, I was very tempted to go to my sermon, but I knew that wouldn't feed me. It might help you, but it wouldn't feed me. So I got out my Bible and I started to read the next thing. And I find invariably that next thing speaks to me. So Genesis 35, 1-3, I started to pray this. God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Make an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. So I could just read that. It's a nice story about Jacob and Esau. This is the bit where, you know, he goes back and he goes back to Bethel. But I approached this differently. God said to Jacob, God, Almighty God, the God who made the heavens and the earth, God said to Jacob. Jacob was not a good man. Lord, I thank you that you, Almighty God, want to speak to me this morning. I'm just like Jacob, probably worse. Thank you for your mercy that you never stop speaking to me. Thank you, Lord, that all through the Old Testament, you, however bad Israel were, you kept on sending your prophets. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to continue to speak to me. Almighty God said to Jacob, the deceiver, arise, O Lord. I'm feeling a bit sleepy this morning. I don't really feel like praying. God, would you help me to pray? I need to arise to get to Bethel, Lord. Would you give me the life and the energy to actually talk to you and pray properly and give you my attention this morning? I need to arise and go to Bethel. What is Bethel? The word Bethel means the house of God. For me, the house of God this morning was 9 Hugo Road. It was my house. And for you, wherever you are, that is Bethel, isn't it? The house of God, that God has chosen to meet with us wherever we want to meet with him. Lord, thank you for Bethel. Thank you for the house of God. Thank you that you want to meet with me. Thank you that you are the God of Bethel. Lord, help me to arise and go up to you today, because I want to meet you in Bethel just like Jacob met you. Thank you that, Lord, that Bethel was the place where there was a stairway to heaven and the angels were going backwards and forwards, and there was this like thing between heaven and earth. Lord, today may there be heaven and earth between me and you, Lord. I have to confess that reading your Bible this way has the potential to make you emotional. God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Father, today, help me not just to go to Bethel. Help me to dwell there, Lord. Help me to live in your presence today. Help me to talk to you about the things that bother me and worry me, the things I have to do as the day goes by. Help me, teach me, Lord, to dwell in Bethel. This is just the verse. This is just my daily reading this morning. Make an altar there. Father, I thank you that you want an offering from me. You want me to offer my life. You want me to offer you my ambitions, my thoughts, my ideas, my weaknesses, my strengths, Lord. Help me today to make an altar to you at Bethel. And Lord, I thank you that you are the God who appeared to me One of the things I love to do is to read about the names of God. And this is an unusual one. He's the God who appeared to you. 1974, January 1974, the Lord appeared to me. Lord, I thank you for that Monday morning in January 1974 when I did not expect that I would meet with you and you appeared to me. Just like in that lovely song that Johnny sang this morning, he found me. He found me. He appeared to me when you fled from your brother Esau. Lord, thank you that Jacob was so human. He was fleeing and you found him. He was on the run. He'd done a bad thing and still you met him. Thank you for your grace, O Lord. This is how we can find God in his word. Third thing I want to mention this morning, and the last thing, is to read it with a view to acting on it. Somebody rang me a few days ago and said that they had had a vision for new life for the church. So I tuned in and listened. This guy, Joe Canestri, actually, some of you may know him, not able to get to church much these days. Joe said that God had given him this vision for the church. He said he saw a field full of little plants and there were birds like that coming down on the plants and trying to eat them. And I felt this was a warning for us as a church and to me as an individual, that God has been planting good seed in new life. New things have been happening. New things have been happening in people's lives. But the devil wants to stop it, doesn't he? He doesn't want you to develop. He doesn't want you to grow. He doesn't want you to be effective in his kingdom. And so we need to pray and we need to deal with these crows. Do you remember the story about the wise man who built his house upon the rock? He was the one who heard the word of God and did it. And this is the key thing, isn't it? Coming back to that ground again, there were four types of ground. There are different pictures of our hearts. You see, the first one was where the crows came. Do you remember that animation at the beginning? The birds came down, didn't they? And the seed was just lying on the surface of the ground. And before it had even gone in, they'd taken it away. So we need to take care of the word of God. I was thinking about the autumn time when I shared about the parable of the steward. No, not the steward, the talents. And that at that time it seemed that God was speaking to people to offer their service. Somebody rang me and said, is there anything I can do at the church? And they started to help prepare the coffee. Other people started to come and help us set up. And it seemed to be a time of a planting of a little seed in that area. And I just want to encourage anybody that felt God was speaking to them then to keep that seed. Watch over the seed. What have you done with that seed? If God is calling us to something, what are you doing about it? The only safe place for that seed was to get it deep into the ground, and that is by acting upon it. I'm not going into the weeds or the stony ground, but the last one was that beautiful good soil there. Luke 8:15, the seeds that fell in good soil stand for those who hear the message and retain it in a good and obedient heart, and they persist until they bear fruit. And I believe at New Life that God is bringing a harvest, but it's going to come as we receive the truth. We receive God's word and we are faithful and we are persevering and we act on what God is saying to us. I'm going to finish with just a little quotation. Again, the famous Smith Wigglesworth. This is what he said about the Bible. It's a bit longer than this. I've just taken a little bit from this. Just to finish with this. Know your book. Live it. Believe it. Obey it. Hide God's word in your heart. It will save your soul, quicken your body, illumine your mind. The word of God is full and final. infallible, reliable, and up to date. And our attitude towards it must be one of unquestioned obedience. If a thing is in the Bible, it is so. It is not even to be prayed about. It is to be received and acted upon. Inactivity of faith is a robber which steals blessing. Increase comes by action, by using what we have and what we know. Johnny, would you mind just coming, musicians? I've asked if Johnny could play an old hymn called "I Surrender All." And as we sing this this morning, I'd like us, if you would like to make it a prayer, make it a prayer. Maybe your heart, we feel we could be more surrendered in our hearts to God. Maybe we feel that there are too many weeds in our lives choking God's stuff in our lives. Maybe we're like the stony ground where it's too shallow and we want our lives, spiritually to be deeper. Let's stand, shall we? If you could put out the words, Phil. Just before Johnny plays, it starts, "I surrender all." So when you were singing this song, this is very challenging, isn't it? This is the altar of Bethel. Build an altar. I, Nick West, I, Vicky Suster, Alan Green, Monica Bond, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Maybe this morning we find that hard to say. Could we have the next verse? All to Jesus I surrender. All to him freely give. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. So God's asking of us this altar thing, to give him all that we have. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior. Now maybe we can relate better to this one. I'm not sure I can surrender everything to you, God, but could you make me Savior, wholly thine? Maybe I feel like there's maybe 50% of my life is given over, but a lot of it is mine. Lord, help me to give it to you. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. By the way, thee means you. Okay, next verse. All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel... It's actually sacred flame, not sacred red flame. Little transcription detail there. Now I feel the sacred flame. You see, as we open our hearts to Jesus and we give him everything, we begin to feel the sacred flame. Because the fire only ever fell in the Old Testament on the burnt offering, which was the all offering. It's only really as we give something to Jesus that we can expect to feel the sacred flame. Next verse. Oh dear, I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. How beautiful. And how challenging. Can we trust God with everything? Sometimes we spend so much time manipulating and manufacturing and trying to get something through when God is asking us to just trust him. When Lot stood at the top of that hill with Abraham, Abraham said, "What do you want, Lot?" Lot said, "Oh, I'll have Sodom. That looks rather nice." God gave it to him. But God said to Abraham afterwards, he said, "Well done, I'm going to give you everything." We can trust Jesus with our lives. We can trust him. Next verse, please. All to thee, my precious Savior, I surrender all. Let's sing it, shall we?
In the book of Psalms, David wrote, "I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord." And it's not unusual to be glad, because the Bible says, in the house of God there is fullness of joy, and in his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And I know this morning we are all looking forward to a beautiful, beautiful service. But we're going to start this morning's service with a very, very wonderful prayer from the young women by my side. Abigail.
Lord, I thank you for everyone here in this room today, Lord. I thank you that we've been all here, we've been here to come to pray for you, Lord. Lord, I pray that this year will be the year that we'll be able to come closer to you, Lord. I pray that we'll be able to face our challenges and our needs, Lord. I pray that we'll be able to call out to you when we need help. I pray that we'll be closer to you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Father Lord, I thank you for bringing us today, O Lord. We thank you for guiding us here again. Father, I pray that as we're going here before your word, Father, that you will be with us, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. That you will give us peace and joy in our hearts, O Lord. Amen.
Let's rise up on our feet as we worship. We thank you because we know you are here with us today. We submit our hearts to you, Jesus. Though we are troubled in our bodies, in our lives, in our homes, in our businesses, our hope in you is forever. We are confident that you are here to help us. Lord, we lift up your holy name. We appreciate you. We're going to take that song one more time. I give praises to your name because we know you are dependable. You are reassuring. You are helpful. You are supportive. You are the reason for this season. You are the reason why we are here this morning. We give praises to your name, Lord Jesus. We give glory to your name. Hallelujah to your name, Jesus. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Being among God's people on the Sunday morning is that you're not sure what God is said to do for you. That's why David said, I was glad when the Lord said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. There is something unusual about the presence of God. It gives you hope. It gives you expectation, a reason to continue to push forward. The best day of my calendar is a Sunday because it prepares me for the whole week. Yes, I am troubled. Yes, I have things that bothers me. Yes, I have challenges in my life. Yes, I have a God that is bigger than all my challenges. Let's put our hands together for Jesus this morning because he's in the house. Hallelujah. It's time to take our offering this morning. If you're worshiping with us for the first time, there's no obligation to give, but a new life giving is part of our worship, so we'll encourage you to give. Please, offering time.
If you are visiting us for the first time and would like us to keep in touch with you, if there's a little a white card you'll find on the information point at the back there, if you'd like to fill that in and pop it into the white box, the beautiful white box, that would be wonderful, and we will keep in touch. Just a few notices this morning. First of all, a reminder that before the meeting at 9:45, we meet to pray. Because we're just temporarily in this hall here, we are praying in a room called PE1. Joe's given me some very detailed directions here. You go out of this door here, turn left, and before you go to the door that takes you to the playground, I hope you're all making note of this, yeah? Okay. Out of the door, turn left. Before you get to the door to the playground, turn right, go through the doors, and PE1 is on your right, down a gentle slope. If you don't find yourself going down a gentle slope, you're in the wrong place, okay? PE1. 9:45 on a Sunday morning before the meeting, we have a wonderful time of prayer for the meeting. Also, just a reminder, we meet to pray on a Tuesday evening, 7:30 at Highgate Road Chapel. Is there a list? There is. I just have to, we need to correct the Sundays at 10:45 prayer meeting because it's not at 10:45 because it'll be during the meeting, but it's at 9:45, okay? But Tuesdays at 7:30 at Highgate Road Chapel, we meet to pray as a church. I think it's a kind of the engine room, if you like, of the church. This thing about praying together corporately is a very precious thing. So I'd really encourage you to come along if you can on a Tuesday evening. This Wednesday is the first Alpha course. Michelle. There we go.
Hi, everyone. We've got Alpha on Wednesdays, which is one of these amazing courses where we meet together. We huddle around small groups, in small groups around tables. We have a lovely meal. We have a lot of laughter, and we have some Christian teaching. Probably said that in the wrong order, but... But the Christian teaching isn't heavy going, it's fun, it's light, but it gives a chance to really explore what the Christian faith is all about, to ask any questions you like. If you're like me, you'll be asking ridiculous questions, but there you go. So it's a really fun time, and then the group tends to gel and become really good friends, so the whole thing is fantastic. So it's on Wednesdays. If you're not a Christian and you just think you might be interested in what is Christianity, come to it, it's great. If you're already a Christian but you're not sure what it's all about either, come. And if you've been a Christian for years and you still don't know, come. So it suits anyone and everyone. Everyone's welcome. And it's about 10 or so weeks in a row. And yeah, it's really good. And there's two other churches involved in this, and they're very friendly and warm. We've met some of the leaders already. And we had such a huge dinner that we had takeaways as well. So
I might come along. Okay, Sunday the 3rd of February, we've got an all-age service. Joe is going to talk about that.
Just very quickly, yeah, I think we've got a... Oh, there it is. Look at that. God, this is what might happen to you if you come to the all-age service. I like the one on that side particularly. So this is for all the groups are going to stay in apart from the Sunbeams. Some very special kids in Flame, and they are going to come and share a little bit and do... We've got a song and various things. And we're going to share one of the stories we've been looking at, which has a very powerful message in it. These have been really special times when we come together. And in the midst of all of that, there's going to be two little ones dedicated, and they're both sort of toddlers, so it will be a lively dedication. Little Jemima and Joshua are going to be dedicated, so it'll be a very special day with the families as well. And then we're planning to have lunch down in the canteen afterwards, I think, so you need to sort of think about this to prepare some food. So very special Sunday in 2 weeks' time. Brilliant.
Perfect. Thanks, Joe. And John, I'd like to talk about musicians' practice. Here he comes.
Thank you. Good morning again. Few weeks ago, we received a call from Pastor Jules. How many of you know Pastor Jules here? Yes, that the Lord gave him a vision about music, and he shared the vision with us, which we believe it's something that God is interested in. And the vision is to help us to work together to be better musicians. And I have been there three times actually. Once I wasn't let in because the door was shut, but twice I was there, and I was part of the... I didn't sing because I don't sing. I don't know how to sing. But I saw Vicky and Lola prepare for an unusual kind of meeting. Yesterday was the top of it all. It was so sweet. It was beautiful. It's just for an hour for now, from now until April, every Saturday from 2:30. Please, if you're a musician, you play instrument or you lead sings, we will encourage you to try and attend. The first time I attended with Lola, on our way home, she said, John, I wish we had done this before now. And as you know, Barbara used to help come to the house to help Lola to kind of learn how to lead a Sunday service, which is very, very helpful. But to have everyone together, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of us, practicing together, sometimes he has even offered to give us space to rehearse our Sunday songs a day earlier, so we can practice together and then just come in and just have a very short kind of rehearsals. Please, if you're in the music team and if you are free on Saturday, please join us at Chalk Farm Baptist Church at 2:30. And I believe you will gain something. Even me, I will gain something. I'll start singing.
Thank you, John. We're looking forward to that very much. Okay, that was the notices. So the children will now leave for their groups. A Blaze are helping. Lovely.